Okay, we're on Mem Hei Yamed Beis, and we're about to embark on this Tosus here. So Tosus says, "Bechezka Shimur Kaimi, Ein HaPerish Kahi De Perakama, Gabi Plugsa De Palga Nizka Knosa." The becheska shimor da hasam hainu de ain't srichen shimor. Shane darko la hazik. Kamo shane veregel. Aval cheska shimor da hacha hainu shederach pnei adam le shomra. Ustam ovid lehu shmira. Pechusa. Yeah. So Tosis, this opening thing is like Rashi. That the Gemara over there, in dealing with the question of Stam Shvarim Becheska Shima Kaimi or Lo Kaimi, and the question whether Palga Niska is Knasa Mamona, there it's when it says Cheska Shimor, it means it's going by how people should or should not view their animal. Meaning, the Gemara there is talking about how does the Torah set itself up? Do you view it that the stam animal is a nakhon? Because insofar as the nature of that kind of animal, it's darko lahazik. And that's what your statistical investigative knowledge tells you. Or do you say, that might be true, but my experience, my experiential knowledge, is that my particular animal is not a nakhon. And now the question is, how does the Torah set up the system? How do you set up the system? Based on which framework? Which framework do you make primary? So that's the Gemara on Tezvav. But the Gemara over here is not dealing with that question. According to Rashi and Tosus, the question is, what is the Derech Bnei Adam? And then the Torah is addressing that Adam in the Parsha. So it's two separate things. It has nothing to do, one has nothing to do with the other. The Gemara on Tesvav, when it uses Cheska Shimor and here Cheska Shimor, it means completely different things. Just happens to be the same words. But the meaning is completely different. And like we said a few weeks ago, here the question is, how does the Torah now view, not how people view their animals, but the question now is, how does the Torah view you as a shomer? Are you vigilant or not vigilant? How does it view you? In general, you do a Shmira Pechusa. At instances, you leave it for a moment or two. Are you a valid Shomer or not? And then the Gemara picks up from there, as we explained. Okay, so I'm just repeating, just to get back into this. Okay. Now, V'Rabbeinu Tam Garas B'Dremeyer Becheska Shimor. Uva de Rebbe Yehuda Lav Becheska Shimor. So Rabbeinu Tam flips the girsa. Just the opposite. So how does the Pshat in the Gemara work if you flip the girsa? Ulafi Hagirsa Hachi Pirusho. My time of the Remeir. What's the reasoning of Remeir? That what? That you require Shmira Ma'ula. Kasavar Stam Shvarim Becheska Shimor Chashivi Labailim. That the Stam Shor is Becheska Shimor. That's how the Bailim view it. Shesvurin Habailim Shein Darka Lahazik. Which is what? Like the Gemara on Tezvav. In other words, the Bailim say, Stam Shvarim Becheska Shimor, right, because they're going by, they're not dismissing their experiential knowledge. Val Kain, Adam Choshishin, Lishomram. And therefore, because they have this information about the experiential, so therefore that makes them less than vigilant about their animals. And then once you say that, then the rest of the Gemara flows. That's who the Torah is addressing. And then you go, Shmir Pachusa, Shmir Ma'ula, and then the Gzera Shava. Remeir, right? Good. V'taymed Rabbi Yehuda stam shvarim lav b'ches kashimer chashivi labaylim. V'natri lehu shmir apachusa. So now the Bailim look at it, no, as a nakhan. And therefore they do a basic shmira. Yeah. Ulahach girsa havi perish ches kashimer dahacha. And according to this girsa, it means the same thing. Yeah. Meaning that in both places, you say Cheska Shimor means the way the Bailim look at the animal. And I say, when the Bible look at the animal, of course I mean, and the Torah considers that legitimate. It has the same sense in both places. But what's the result of that sense? So if you look at the animal as a nadchon, so then memela, you're going to do a shmira pachusa. But if what's legitimate is to look at your animal as not a nagchan, so then you're going to relate to your animal in a less than vigilant manner. And then the Gemara picks up from there. Okay, but all's not so simple. Why? Now the end of Tosis. Umiyo bein l'remeyer bein l'reb Yehuda savri shapir palga nizka kenasa. Okay. So first of all, let me just say one important thing. The reason why Tosis says palga nizka kenasa is because that's the way we posit. So he's just, he's making, but it really has to work out both ways. It's a two-way street here. In other words, to explain this little bit obscure ending to Tosfos. Matosfos is bothered by is one thing, is if you tell me now that Stam Shvarim Becheska Shimor Lav B'Shimor means the same thing in both sugyas. So now, how do you have a Machlokas Tanoim here? So now it's going to have to work out that when the Amorayim have their machlokas, it has to work out both ways. Or else it's the same machlokas. So it's going to have to be that although Reb Yehuda, according to Rabbeinu Tam, says what here? Stam Shvarim, Lav Becheska Shimor, and Lav Becheska Shimor will mean that it should be Palga Niska is Mamona. Right? But how do you work out that Rebbe Yehuda, the Tana, could tolerate that it be Knas? Because the Gemara on Tesvav says Knas has the premise that Stam Shvarim Becheska Shimur Kaimi. It's going to have to work out that Rebbe Yehuda should be able to explain, or let's put it this way, the Manda Amar who said that Palga Niska Knasa could work out, even according to the Tana, Rebbe Yehuda. And vice versa. According to Reb Meir, who says, Stam Shvarim Becheskas Shimor Chashivi Kaimi. So it's going to, that means Stam Shvarim Becheskas Shimor. So that means he holds. Naturally, he would say, you should say Palga Nizka Knasa. Oh, but how does it work out that you could say Mamona within his Shita? As I said, Tosfos only interested in one, the side of Knasa. That's why he says, Bein the Rebbe Yehuda, it'll work out Palga Niska Knasa. But it really means it should work out both ways. He's just concerned with the Knas case. So that's the problem. That's the big stira that Tosfos is saying, don't worry about it. It resolves itself. However, Tosfos did not tell you how it resolves itself. Okay? But that's the problem. It has to work out both ways because you're dealing with the Machlokas Amorayim and here you have Machlokas Tanayim. There's the Gemara nowhere in Tesvav says that this is a Machlokas Tanayim. Tanayi. Gemara doesn't say, Lieber did it. It doesn't do that. No, plain shot is this is the Machlokas Tanayim. Now, Rav Papa and Rav Huna have a separate machlokas, and the truth of the matter is, it's not contingent on the machlokas tanoim.
Right.
That's exactly the problem, that according to Rabbeinu Tam, it means the same thing in both places. Rashi doesn't have this problem. The first day in Tosis doesn't have this problem. But they want to show you that Rabbeinu Tam is going to end up with this problem. But Tosfos says, don't worry, it's not a problem. Except he doesn't want to tell you what the resolution is. So there are two main Rishonim who take up this thing. One is the Rush, and the other is, I believe, the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. I think it's Rabbeinu Peretz. In any case, it's brought down by the Sheikh Mikobetzis. That tries to straighten this mess out. It's a little complicated. I'm not saying it's a cheap thing. It's, I think, an important point. Now, the Gemara should have said, yeah, but according to Palga Niska Knasa, that's only good, Aliba the Reb Meir. But Aliba the Reb Yehuda, it's not true. I mean, the Gemara doesn't do that. It's clear the Gemara does not see these two things as being problematic. So for Rashi, it's obviously why not. Because Rashi changes what the words mean in the two areas. But Rabbeinu Tam didn't. And yet it's still not a problem, he holds. The Gemara should have said, Rav Papa holds Stam Shvarim. And Gemara should have right away lined it up. That's Reb Meir. This one's Reb, whichever one is which, but whatever. This is Reb Yehuda, this is Reb Meir. How could they not do that? I mean, these guys are Stam, think they made up Stam Shvarim, they didn't know the Mishnah? It's impossible.
No, I hear that. I guess I thought that maybe because
Reb Meir could say Knasa Mamona, Reb Yehuda could say it's either Knasa Mamona, and it'll all work out. That's what the end of that Tosfos is telling you. Let's take a look at the Rush. So it's the last Rush in Shor Shanagach, Perek Dalet, of course, Osvav. He says, Kashu balab moser v'nol b'fon of karoiv, yatsav hizik echa tam v'echa muad chayev divre meyer. Rabbi Yud omer, tam chayev v'muad potter. Rabbi Elazar omer, ein lo shmira el asakin. V'alachik to Rabbi Yehuda. V'yafal gav. Here we go. V'yafal gav d'yesh svarim de garsi. Rabbi Yehuda savar lav b'cheska shimar kaimi. See, the Rush is going to be interested in Rabbi Yehuda again because he's interested in Palga and Nizka Knasa. Okay? Viafga, let's take that side for now. We'll be satisfied. Viafga, the Ish from the Garsi Rabbi Yehuda Sava Lav Becheska Shimor Kaimi. What does it mean, Lav Becheska Shimor Kaimi? That means that the Behema is a Nachan. The Bailam look at the Behema like a Nachan. Afilu Hachi Sava Rabbi Yehuda. Palgi Nizka Knasa. Still in all, Rabbi Yehuda could hold that Chatzi Nezek is a Knas. Even though the Manda Amar there holds that in order to say Chatzi Nezek is a Knas, you have to say Stam Shvarim Becheska Shimur Kaimi. Then you go by the experiential. You don't dismiss the experiential, and therefore you have a right to assume your animal is not a Nakhon. And the only reason you have Chatzi Nezek is that the Torah wants you to be more vigilant, so it's a knas. So how does this work? Right? Right? How could it be that he holds this way? So here we go. Dinehi debe'ene habaylam. Eino becheska shimor kaimi. Vishomrin oso. That while it's true, that what? In the eyes of the Bailam, it's not Becheska Shimor. Right? And therefore, they watch it. Mikol Makom Ein Darko Lahazik. The Kol Shekein Kesha Bailam Mosif in Loshmira. Now, while it's true in the eyes of the Bailam, like the Gemara says here on Memhei, it's not Becheska Shimor, that's Rabbi Yehuda, meaning what? That in the eyes of the Bailam, they don't see it as being a safe thing. And therefore, they do a Shmira Pechusa. Still in all, ain't Darko Lahazik. Still in all, its way is not to be Mazik. And that's why it's and that's of course why it's Chatzi Nezek Knas. What's he talking about? Do you understand this? What's the Rush's answer here?
I agree with David's approach,
but I just want to answer the kasha that I asked. So in other words. On Tesvav, there the sugya is discussing what is the Torah's expectation. What is the Torah's expectation of Bailam, of society, towards Behemos? In the world of Nezek. And the question is, how the Torah, the question there is, what is the proper way that one should view one's evaluation of your livestock, of your shvarim? There's competing information. And the question is, how does the halacha deal with that information? You have certain inherently about the nature of the animal, they're not chanim. They have a certain danger element to them. And then you have your particular experiences with your own behema. And how you navigate that. That's the question between Rav Papa and Rav Huna. But now, we're talking about, the Torah is now darshaning, the Gemara is now darshaning the Psukim, showing you the derivation, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether you need Pechusa Me'ula. So now,
the sugya, the analysis starts with what people in fact do. But the question is, and this is the question that I raised, is why should the Torah go by in fact what people do if it's not what the Torah really expects? There's something funny about that. The Torah really says, let's say, Stam Shvarim Becheska Shimur Kaimi. So that means that the Torah does not expect you to be really vigilant. And that's why it's Chatzi Nezek is Knas. But all of a sudden, now, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, yeah, that's true, that ain't Darka Lahazik, but nevertheless, people Shomer Melsomi Kol Makom. And that's where the Torah begins to address you. But why should it do that? Just because you're a machmir, but it's for no reason. So why should the Torah address that person? You're making it a mistake. It's nice you're doing it, but it's still a mistake. It's not consistent. It's like you're not learning the parsha consistently. So I was thinking like this, that the answer is, no, they go hand in hand. Because really you're saying, Stam Shvarim, Becheska Shimur Kaimi, meaning that it's Ein Darko Lahazik. Right? There's a Torah, gives you a right to go by experiential and say, it's Ein Darko Lahazik. This animal in its own behavior is not a Nagchan. Oh, but now the Torah wants to create Chatzi Nezek, Knas, in order to render the Gavra vigilant. He should be vigilant. Oh, if it's a matter of being vigilant, then the Torah must really look at what is the present Nihug in order to add vigilance. In other words, if in general, people, for whatever reasons, they're extra care, they're already, somewhat, they already have a Nihug of extra carefulness, okay? But they're being based on for whatever their reasons are. Oh, but if the Torah really wants to create a true halachic vigilance, it's going to have to now take into account what people are already doing. Because they're doing it for whatever causes. But we want them to do it for the Torah's reasons. That they should really recognize... what's the word I want to use? One second. In other words, the Torah's interest is creating a sense of vigilance. Let me keep it simple. And if the Torah's interest is creating a sense of vigilance, so it's going to have to add to what's already practically happening. Or else it will not be sending the message of vigilance. You'll just be having a knee of people for whatever reasons. So therefore... even though what? It's Ein Darko Lahazik. But since the Bailim are what do you call it? Are Shomer Nosomi Kol Makom. So now when the Torah addresses the Parsha of Chatzi Nezek, it's addressing that guy. And now it's going to, by definition, say that the first move is going to be Shmira Ma'ula. Of course, it comes back because, you know, you have the Shmira Mul be on Tom, and then you have Shmira Mul on the other one. But we're talking, well, let's worry about Tom now. So it'll be Shmira Ma'ula. Why? Because the Shmira Ma'ula, the fact that the Torah was Mosif Shmira on what the Nihug is, sends a message of vigilance. That the Torah wants you to be vigilant about this. So that's the idea. I think. You see, for whatever, you know, people, let's say people are I would say this, why are they Shomer this thing when really it's Ein Darko Lahazik? Because people by nature are nervous about these things. people are always worried about liability. But now you see the Torah is not coming from that standpoint. It's coming from an idea of vigilance. And vigilance means that you create a shmira that really is the ultimate. And there's the vigilance is that you're doing something that's ultimate. It's not only the qualitative, so to speak, psychological fence, but it's really the fencing, it's really the security that, whatever, 99.9 times out of 100, it in fact will stop this behemoth. It's a real vigilance, because it's really a operational, functional vigilance. It's not based on the psychology of the person. It really is the ultimate shmira that the Torah can demand of a person. Shmira ma'ula. So that's what creates the sense of vigilance. A real objective shmira that's of the best possible kind. It's like beyond that, you can't expect a human being to do. You've reached the pinnacle. So in order to do that, the Torah couldn't say to mandate Shmira Pachusa, because people are already doing Shmira Pachusa for their own reasons. So therefore, the two sugyas are in sync. If you want to be the Tana Reb Yehuda, and say, Stam Shvarim, Lav Becheska Shimer Kaimi, that will not be a stira to the Sugya Tesvav that says, Stam Shvarim, Becheska Shimer Kaimi, and Palga Niska Knasa. Because that's talking about the expectation. That's what the Torah really expects of you. That Stam, really you would have had the right to look at your animal and not do Shmira. But the Torah wants you to be vigilant. So that's what the Torah really expects. That's what you need to do, to be vigilant. Oh. But, Reb Yehuda, over here in this sugya, is now analyzing, he's trying to explain, what shmira do you require in order to be considered that the Torah instituted vigilance? Now in that case, you can't look at merely what the Torah really would have expected. Because you're looking to add vigilance to the scenario. So since you're looking to add vigilance, so therefore you have to look what the nihug, what the practice is. And since the average guy looks at his animal like, uh-oh, this could be trouble. So therefore it's going to turn out that when the parsha is addressing the Bnei Yisrael, it's addressing that Bnei Yisrael, that gavra, that kind of livestock owner. And therefore, when it creates its vigilance knas, it's going to be a shmira meula. And shmira meula is an objective vigilance, because it really takes in all the facts, all the security concerns, in their full sense. The expectation, the Torah's expectation, daf tesvav, that's based on how does the Torah really maintain, what does it require of you in your viewing animals, or the society reviewing animals? How should you view behemoths? How should you look at a behemoth? And there's conflicting information. Right? There's the inherent knowledge of the species, and then there's the experiential. Okay?
Right.
And, by the way, Rebbe feels that really the real idea is that inherently the behemoth are nachan. That's how he really wants to learn. But the Torah could not dismiss the experiential. All right, I'm not sure. Yeah, you can learn either way, but whatever. That's how we want to learn. Okay, so that's one question. Now the Torah wants to be Mosif. Now, once you say Stam Shvarim Becheska Shimur Kaimi, so what you're saying is the Torah really is saying it recognizes that it's not possible to dismiss your experiential knowledge. Yeah, one second, I see what the problem is. In other words, the difficulty here is, and this is the problem that really presents itself, is on one hand we're saying on Tezvav, let's say you hold Stam Shvarim Becheska Shimur. So you're saying that the Torah gives you the right to go by your experiential. And therefore, that means that people look at their animal that it's not a Nakhon. So if that's true, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that no, but they still watch it? In other words, if the Torah's... Unless you say, what? See, that's the problem. The problem on Tezvav is it's not just an abstract point. We're talking with real people. Meaning the average guy sees his behema in one of two ways. It's a shore. It's got a danger element to it. It's a nagchan. On the other hand, his shore is very tame. So now, how do you look at that shore? So the Torah is saying that you have a right to look at it as being tame, as being a short tam. It's not a nakhon. Can't dismiss that, the experiential. Now Rabbi Yehuda is saying, but nevertheless, the Be'ene Abaylam, why, what does he say? Dene, the Be'ene Abaylam Eina Becheska Shimur Kaimi. Vishomer Somi Kol Makam. One second, but why they do that? You just told me experientially the guy sees it as not being a Nakhon. It sounds like, right? It sounds like it's like contradictory. Like, what's the real way that they look at it? Right, so we're answering this seeming problem by saying the Gemara on Tesvav is speaking about what the Torah's expectations are of the society and of Gavras. And the Torah's expectation is that you have these competing knowledge. And if you say Knas, the Torah is saying that it would be proper to make the conclusion that your behema basically is tame and it doesn't cause damage. And therefore you could be less than vigilant. But now the Torah says, no, but we want, for the sake of the society, we want vigilance. We do want vigilance. We want to take into effect all different factors. And a behema does have a nature. So we want you to be vigilant as a knas. Now the question is, now that we want you to be vigilant, so in comes Rabbi Yehuda and says that if you want to go by, that the Torah wants it to be vigilant, then you got to look at what their real practice is. Not what the Torah's expectation is. Now you're looking for what their real practice is. And now the real practice, it's true experientially the guy knows his behema is really not a nakhon. And that would be legitimate. The only thing is people, for whatever factors, their own, anxiety factors, liability factors, whatever it may be, they do their own subjective thing. And they go ahead and they do a shmira because they're nervous about it. But the nervousness is not a legitimate nervousness according to the Torah. Because the Torah is saying, on Tezvav, you really have a right to go by the experiential. But since, in fact, the Nihug is to do a Shmira, and now the Torah wants you to be vigilant because of a Knas, so Rabbi Yehuda says, there you must go, there you have to take into effect the reality, even if it's a subjective reality. and therefore you have to say that vigilance equals Shmira Ma'ula, which is not nonsensical. On the contrary, it makes a lot of sense, because that's a real vigilant Shmira. That will really send the message to Am Yisrael that you have to be really careful. Not like you guys based on your subjective reasons, but objectively, it's a good societal thing. And therefore, you have to do a Shmira that's of the best quality and quantity. Yeah, so now you go to Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir, what are you going to say? So Rabbi Meir is saying, Stam Shvarim is Becheska Shimur Kaimi. Meaning, the Bailim think that it's Ein Darkin Lahazik. And that's why they're not Shomer very well, or at all. But now the question is, how's he going to learn Chatzi Nezek Mamona? Because Chatzi Nezek Mamona is based on the premise that Stam Shvarim Lav Becheska Shimur Kaimi, meaning that it's Darkon Lahazik. Right? The inherent information of the nature of the animal is that it will cause damage. Right? So therefore, the Torah really expects that you should be doing a Shmira. But the Torah was Chas, because the Torah realizes that you might be somewhat lax, because Lo Iyaye Ture, that your experiential is telling you, my animal's okay. So now, Reb Meir on Daf Mem Hey, what's Reb Meir saying? That when the Torah is addressing the Bailim Baal HaShor, it's making the assumption that the person is less than vigilant. Because that's the reality. And that reality is being reflected already by the fact that it's Chatzi Nezek. Because that's what it's saying. So really, in abstract, the guy should really be doing a Shmira. But why do we only charge him Chatzi Nezek? Because we recognize he's conflicted. And the fact that he's conflicted results that we're not going to charge him as much. So it shows already the Torah recognizes that the person is a conflicted individual. Society is conflicted about this situation, owning Stam Shvarim. So now the Torah is dealing with that person, and therefore it's saying that you absolutely must have that. What Shmira is it? It's dealing with that reality. So it's telling you need a Shmira Bechusa. So Reb Meir could also it's in line with the two sugyas. We should do the other way too. How's it go the other way now? Yeah, and of course the reverse, saying that Reb Yehuda holds Mamona and Reb Meir holds Knas, that's going to work very simply across the board. It's the crisscross that's difficult.
Right. Yeah, I guess it comes after your question of whether there's a man on how you're using.
Yeah, I guess that's the best we're gonna do with with the rush right now. Yeah. Alright, next week let's move forward, even though there's a Rabbeinu Peretz, but look, that was our best shot. Let's do we have Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, that's in the Brisa. That's a sheet that we haven't had yet, where it's Pchusa Pchusa all the time. And then let's do the famous Ravada Barava. But yeah, as I said, if you've already done to the end of the thing, you know, do it again. But that's what we'll take up. Yes, the Tosas, that's very important, right? Ravada Barava. And the Tosis of Lo Pata Reb Yehuda El Tzada Adar Shabo. And you might have to look up the Gemara on Daf, whatever it is, Lamed Tes, Mem, whatever, on Eima Midin Apotropos Latam. You do need to know what that means. That's beautiful. I'm telling you, that's worthwhile to do Rav Ada Bar Ava. It's a very interesting shita. And Tosas Chiluk. When you read the Tosas, it sounds like he makes a arbitrary chilukim here. Like no rhyme or reason, it sounds like. We'll see. All right. Maybe we'll just stop here.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Yeah, have a good one. Thank you for bearing with me on this. All right, take care.